Good morning, church. How are we doing? It's good to worship together. It's going to be good here as well to dig into God's word together. And we have the special privilege this morning of having our Great Lakes District district superintendent with us, Thomas George. And he's going to be coming here in just a second to share with us. But Thomas has been actually in our district for quite a while. He was the pastor out at Perrysburg Alliance Church before moving to the district office. And he is just starting his second term, his fifth year as our district superintendent. And one of the things that I've most appreciated as I've gotten to know Thomas over the years is that he is definitely a man of God and a man of prayer. And one of the things that I know is very true is that even for us as a church, as we go through this transition, he has been praying for our church continually and praying for our leadership. And so I'm excited that he is here to share with us this morning. So as he comes, would you please welcome him with me as we get ready to dig into God's word, Thomas George.
I'm going to try really hard to stand still here. Those of you who know me know that I don't do that well. For two reasons. We got a lot of ground to cover. If I wander off, you guys will be here past dinner. Really, I can beat Pastor Jeff. I heard about his record. I don't know where he is, but I heard about his record. And the second reason is some of you are going to get seasick. If I keep moving around. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we come eager to hear from you, I pray, Father, for you to take and use your word through me in whatever way you want, Lord. You have very specifically laid things on my heart to share with this church family, and this is your church family, Lord. Many people here I know, but so many more that I do not know. But you know every one of us. You know the depths of our heart and what we are walking through. And because you have been very particular with me about what it is I'm going to be sharing this morning, I know that you have things to share with your children, your bride, whom you love. Lord, please use me how you want. Help each one of us to hear clearly, to hear your words. That's really the only important piece, is to hear your words. And then to be able to respond to you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last time I was here, it's been a long time, I spoke from the scriptures about the fact that God has made us for his glory. And I told you the main point of my sermon, repeated it about 600 times, and I am just curious. I can't handle the blow to my ego if nobody remembers. So I'm going to tell you what it is, and you tell me if you recognize it, okay? I told you guys that we were made by God, we were made for God, and we were made for his glory. Two ladies are shaking their heads. They know. Made by God, made for God, and made for his glory. This call is upon all of us. It's not just some of us. If you are his child, this call to glory living, his glory living, is upon all of us. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. That call is upon all of us. The call to reveal God and cause others to praise him. God made you for that very reason. The mountains can declare the glory of God, the skies also, the stars he made, all declare his glory in one way. But you and I, as his children, declare parts of his nature that are not declared in nature, in all of nature, the same way. There is the reality of the power of Christ who lives in us, which is very different than what a mountain reflects in reflecting God's glory. God meant to reveal himself through you and me. in order to live for His glory, it requires that we are filled with His Spirit. Let me ask you a question. You guys got up this morning, hopefully went to go take a shower, maybe went and looked in the mirror. And when you looked in the mirror, maybe you had a reaction like me. Ah! I don't know. Did you see the reflection of God's glory in the mirror? At least that was not my thought. How do we live this call? Scripture tells us very clearly that we're not meant to live this call in our own power, in our own strength. Scripture tells us very clearly that we are to live this call to glory, God's glory, filled with the Spirit. Filled by the Spirit of God. In order to reflect that glory, we need purity and power that is beyond us. Remember those two words. Purity and power that is beyond us. Purity. God calls us to be holy because He is holy, right? You guys are going to answer, right? Yes, good. He calls us to be holy because He is holy. Holy means pure, perfect, set apart to Him, all His, no part of us living for anything else but Him. Without holiness, Scripture says that none of us can stand before God. We cannot be set apart unto Him and be His unless we stand holy. Sin separates us. The blood of Christ shed on the cross positionally purifies us. Let me explain that. It means that when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus looks at us and says, holy, declared, positionally there. And then Scripture also tells us that He begins to make us holy. What He sees completed already, He begins to work on in a very different way of making us into that image of Christ, the holy image of Christ. He does that. Hebrews 10:14, by the way. If you have never paid attention to this verse, pay attention to it. Because by one sacrifice, He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You hear it? Perfect forever, declared, positional, already there. Those who are being made holy. Both in the same sentence. The work of making us holy is called sanctification. Yes. It is both a crisis and a process. In other words, He declared us to be holy, and then He calls us to be holy. First, through crisis. And then He forms holiness in us as we live. This is the CMA position on sanctification. Some of you may have taken membership class a long time ago, but somebody explained that to you. That this is the CMA position on sanctification. You come to Christ, and at some point, maybe right at the beginning, as you understand the will of God, that it is to be holy, set apart unto Him, and you try. You try. I remember coming to Christ, and my pastor explained what holiness meant, and I sat there and going, are you kidding me? And Scripture actually illustrates that for us in Paul's letters. In Paul's letter to the Romans, in 6 and 7, he actually comes to that description. He talks about who we are in ownership. He talks about what is supposed to be. And then he comes to this crisis point of screaming out, this is Romans 7, 24, wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the recognition of a believer who already has the Holy Spirit living in them. This is the recognition of a believer that this life of holiness is not happening by my own strength. How many of you have tried to follow the rules? You failing? Good. You're normal. If the law was sufficient, all we needed were the rules. He meant to bring us to points of crisis, where there is indeed a breaking point, where we understand that this holy living call, purity, is never going to happen because we followed the rules. Anybody here tired of trying? I remember distinctly, not just once, but points in my life where the first point I remember, but I remember other times where God brought me to the end of myself to say, child, you weren't meant to do it this way. Thanks for trying, but it doesn't work that way. You guys can handle about 14 verses if I read it. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 8, 1 through 14. I want to read this passage to you. And with what I just explained to you coming out of Romans 6 and 7, I want you to hear those first 14 passages, and I want you to pay attention, okay? Phones, iPads, whatever you need to pull out, pull out. Let's go there together, okay? I'm going to read from ESV. You don't have to go to ESV. You can read whatever you normally read. Just don't be reading comic books. All right, Romans 8, 1 through 14. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Paul loves run-on sentences. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The fourfold gospel of the CMA declares this truth that we hold on to, that Christ is our sanctifier. The one who declares us to be holy in salvation then brings us to the place of surrender to him so that the Spirit now can work and make us holy as he was intended to do. Christ is our sanctifier. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The only chance that we have of reflecting God in this world and causing others to praise him, to praise our Father in heaven, as Matthew 5:18 says, so that they may see your good works and praise our Father in heaven, correct? The only hope we have of that is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Purity is a work of the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit Jesus promised us, the Holy Spirit. But the glory is not just reflected in purity, it is also reflected in power. It is both power and purity that we need to be able to live this life God called us to. God has called us to a supernatural work. By definition, it means that it is supernatural. Correct? I hate using the same word to define this word, but you get what I mean, right? It's not natural to us. Good. God's not calling you to live a supernatural life in your power. The core values of the Alliance declare this: without the Holy Spirit's empowerment, we can accomplish nothing. Nothing. Even some of our pastors don't like hearing that word. But I have a formula. Nice. Nothing. John Soper, a previous vice president of church ministries, he writes, "The Holy Spirit already indwells his people, but his people are not filled with his presence. Jesus said, 'Apart from me, you can do nothing.' And he meant it." One of the founding passages of the CMA, what caught the heart and attention of our founder, A.B. Simpson, is found in Zechariah 4:6. "Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" This is the basic foundation that 6 million people across the world have been reached and are worshiping in Alliance churches. That 500,000 some believers in the U.S. call themselves CMA believers. This power of the Spirit, not A.B. Simpson's good looks or great works. He knew right from the beginning that this was going to be something that God did, or nothing would matter. The disciples understood this. Old Testament and New Testament very clearly testify, for those who follow God to live the life that he called us to, we cannot do it without his purity and his power. The refining work of God is accompanied by power for ministry in Scripture. This is why we are a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family, like our president likes to call us. Unpack that sometime, or watch his video that explains that. We will not be able to carry his work out, what he called us to, unless it is by the power of the Holy Spirit, whom he tells the disciples to wait for, right? Wait. He doesn't say, "Okay, I'm returning home. Now you guys go do what I showed you to do." That's not how it sounds. That's not what he said. Wait here. Wait, you're going, you gave us a great commission, it's time to go, right? No, wait, here. Why? There's power coming upon you. You can't do what I called you to do. You cannot respond the way that you need to respond to live glory lives until God's power has come upon you. This is what the command, "Be filled," is about. Ephesians 5:18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." This command about being filled is actually about this purity and power that must come from God. Weird things that we do sometimes. We come to Ephesians 5:18, and there's probably a few in this crowd, I can guarantee. The part that you read was, "Do not get drunk on wine." Please continue the sentence. That's not the point of 5:18. The point of 5:18 is, don't let something else control you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That's an imperative. It's a command. As much as any of the Ten Commandments, this is a command to the believer. Be filled with the Spirit. I'm amazed how many believers don't know that. How do you live? By what power can you live pure lives or live out what God called you to live? But Paul is writing to the church. You realize this, right? This is the letter to the Ephesian church. It's not only to Ephesus, but then it's going to be circulated. He's writing to the church, and he says, "Be filled." What? That, don't they already have the Holy Spirit? Yeah, they do. Romans 8. We just read that passage. This is verse 9. "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, He does not belong to Christ. You hear it? Every believer has the Holy Spirit come to live within them. At the moment of salvation, there is no question in Paul's mind as he writes to the church and instructs them, commands them to be filled with the Spirit. John 14, 15 through 17, Jesus tells them that the Spirit is what they should expect and that the Spirit is coming. There's no question about when you do this or when you do that. He just says he's coming. Why? Because they have responded to him in salvation. He is coming to live. This is what they should expect. So what does filled mean then? If this is not just about, yeah, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, what does filled mean? Anyone here have that question? It's okay, you don't have to be shy. Good, you're eager to learn. Filled. Here's at least three things as to what it means. Filled means that we understand that ownership has been transferred. Ownership has been transferred. How many of you like the word ownership? I don't see too many hands going up. Ownership has been transferred. Romans 6 tells us who we belong to. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 here. Let me read this passage for you. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. What? I'm me. This is my life. Filled means ownership has changed hands. It doesn't mean that we gave God a little room in our house, a little spot where Sunday morning he can be stirred up to bless me, Lord. It means that he has come. The keys are not yours anymore. Filled means, here you go, Lord. Ownership is yours. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live in the flesh. Hold on. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Jesus Christ now lives in me. That's the translation I memorized as a young believer. And I didn't know how to live. And my pastor is talking to me about holy living. And I'm listening to him and I'm going, I don't even know what that means, let alone live it. He said, Thomas, remember whose you are. I said, how do I remember whose I am? I'm just learning all this stuff. He said, remember this, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Jesus Christ now lives in me. I said, okay, I will remember that. When garbage would come in front of my eyes and I was tempted to look and follow, I would say, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Jesus Christ now lives in me. When stuff would come and overwhelm me, I would say, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Jesus Christ now lived in me. I didn't know that that was a piece of learning to surrender. We'll talk about that in a second. I didn't know. All I knew was that ownership was being handed over to God. Filled means ownership has changed hands. It has been transferred. Filled means I am given to, completely yielded, under the control of. This is what that Ephesians 5:18 passage is talking about. Don't let people, don't let things, don't let substances, don't let anything control you. Don't let security or the lack of it control you. Don't let significance or the lack of it control you. Don't let people's acceptance or the lack of it control you. Be filled with the Spirit. Be under His control. Do everything that He has asked you. Stay there. Filled means given to, yielded. I'm not going to let anything else control me, Lord. Here I am. This is Paul writing to the church, remember? He's not writing to people who don't have the Spirit. This is not a picture. Oh, fill me up, Lord. Give me a little bit more. Give me a little bit more. He's a person. Any of you that have a relationship with a significant other, husband, wife, whoever, okay? Did you just get part of that person when you got married or when you got in a relationship? I think I got my wife's arm. You either get her or nothing, right? Either you have the Spirit of God or you don't have Him. There is no parts. Filled means yielded. I am surrendering more and more. As He shows me parts of my life that I hold on to, I am continuing to yield to Him. Surrender. Control. Filled. And that's the third piece. Romans 12:1 actually talks about, Romans 12:1, you guys may know the passage, I'll read it for you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Laying life down as a living sacrifice. You know the pictures of sacrifice in the Old Testament, right? Animal dead laying on the altar. You guys have that picture, right? I have seen sacrifices of goats and sheep growing up, and there's not much a sacrifice does but lay there. But the confusing part in 12:1 is it says living sacrifices. Living sacrifices, guess what they do? They crawl off. We do this, right? Lord, here's my heart, Lord. For 5 minutes. Why? Because there's things I got to do here. I don't need you for this. I only needed you there. Living sacrifices means I am actively, moment by moment, putting myself down and saying, I don't mean like putting myself down. I mean putting myself down on the altar and saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Take over. Here I am. Continually in that place of living as a sacrifice. Not my way, Lord. Yours. Not my way, Lord. Yours. Not my way, Lord. Yours. My wife is wrong, but not my way, Lord. Yours. I'm going to walk over there and apologize to her. Because you're telling me to. Lay it down. Living sacrifice. God's Holy Spirit comes to live in all who are believers, but we must choose to be under new ownership, yielded to Him, surrendered to Him. Thus the command to be filled. I want to tell you how you can be filled with the Spirit, but before that, I want to tell you why we don't like to be filled by the Spirit. Can I do that for a second? Only 2 points, okay? Only 2 points. Tummy's grumbling? You gonna be okay? All right. First reason that we don't want to be filled by the Spirit is it could be that we are ignorant or fearful or both. Many of us have not been taught what it means to be filled by the Spirit. There are people who only believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. The Holy Spirit is kind of nebulous and scary, so they dismiss Him completely. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's coming, but I don't know what that means. He's that ghost. It. Oh, nothing fires me up more than when I hear God's Holy Spirit being called an it. That's like calling my son an it. Holy Spirit's not my son, but you guys know what I mean. He's a person. He's not an it. He's a person of God. And he wasn't meant to be dismissed. Well, the other side of what we've seen of the Holy Spirit's work is ecstatic craziness associated with him. Many people think that filled means I'm rolling around on the ground doing crazy stuff. When we look at those two extents of where things are, we want to react by just saying, okay, I like the Father, and the Son is like really cool because he died on the cross for me. Leave me alone. That's good enough. I'll just try hard. Family, stay with what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit. Stay with what the Holy Spirit is described as. All of the qualities, you guys have been looking at those as you've been going through your series. Look at the qualities of who he is and what he was meant to do in your life and in mine. Stay there. Being filled is not some option for the super spiritual. It was for you and for me. Everyday believers. And many times the fear of what we don't know, or that we don't know about him at all, keeps us from being filled. The other thing that keeps us from being filled is three letters, starts with S, ends with N. I'm in the middle. Sin. Living a life filled with the Spirit is seen as costly. Okay? Let me explain costly. Filled means that I'm going to obey. It means I'm going to give up control. It means I'm going to be willing to change. Some of you are out already, right? All right, I'm done. What God shows me to do, I will do in his power. No excuses, no delay. I will move in the direction that he leads, and this is costly. Because, let's admit it, we like our sin, right? That's why we keep running back to it. We like our sin. Living filled means that we are going to have to give up the self-life, self-confidence, self-satisfaction, self-righteousness. These are the things that the Spirit is going to lead us in and give us power to let go of. Some of us are not sure we're ready to do that. Sin is simply living against the design and will of God. Scripture tells us that sin grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Choosing to not be filled with the Spirit is as much sin as is any of our list of what sins are, because we're resisting him. The Spirit of the living God was meant to be the fire that stokes everything in your life. He is the consuming fire that was meant to take over every aspect of your life and do all that God intended to do through you to bring glory to his name. This is why 1 Thessalonians 5:19 uses that picture of saying, "Don't quench the Spirit." So how can I be filled? We're at the end. How can I be filled? Here are the things that we know from Scripture. You need to come empty. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. We already talked about that, right? When my hands are empty, then I am ready to receive. It begins here. It begins with readiness to empty self. Brothers, sisters, this is not, I promise you, this is not a one-time act. Okay? Remember the description of living sacrifices. It means we can crawl off. As soon as I empty my hands, many times I can think of things to pick up and fill my hands with. Continually staying in that place of coming empty. Luke 9:23 and a few passages down. Here's Jesus. Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Get ready to die. You hear that in that verse? For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? We look at that verse 25, and many times the connection we make is with materialism. And we say, oh, Jesus is teaching us that we shouldn't be materialistic people. So if we're going to follow him, we need to leave all the materialistic things behind. That's what it's talking about. Let me pause for a second. Is it just materialism? Why is he talking about denying self? Why is he talking about dying to self? We cannot be filled with his spirit unless we are willing to lay self down. Empty. I don't have anything but you, Lord. Empty. Come empty. Instead of trying to be holy by your own efforts, come and experience holiness that comes from him. As a living sacrifice, be made empty so that you can be filled. If you are full of yourself, you have no room for God. So the first piece is come empty. The second piece is ask. Ask. Ask him. Ask him for that filling. Luke 11, 9 through 13. Here's another passage that I can guarantee you, as soon as I start reading it, you'll go, ha ha, I know that passage. Wait until I get to the end, okay? Wait until I get to the end, because some of us stop reading this passage way before we get to the end. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. We know this passage, right? Yeah. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? First time hearing that last sentence? Thomas didn't make that up. It's in Luke. It's in Luke verse 13. Luke 9 verse 13. We know the first passages and we go, okay, Lord, you told me to ask. Here I am asking. You told me to seek. I'm coming seeking you. Wait, what is he asking you to ask about? Being filled with the Spirit is according to his will. He's telling you, ask me. If this is what you want, ask me. Man, I'm a good, good father. I want to fill you up. I want to give you everything you're asking, is what he's saying. And more. Ask. Ask. Third, final piece of this is believe and expect. Don't just ask hoping that he will do this. 1 John 5, 14 through 15. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Is it God's will that you be filled with the Spirit? Yes. Oh, wow. Have I done really that bad? Yes? Okay, I want to make sure I'm preaching God's word clearly, man. I want to make sure that you understand it. Whether you accept it is between you and him. But I need to make sure you understand what I'm saying. Is it God's will that you are filled with the Spirit? Yes. Then if you ask him, you can believe and expect that he will do that. We're going to have a moment to be able to ask God these things here in a second. But I want to tell you what comes after, just to not leave you kind of like, okay, now what? You hate that? Sometimes a pastor preaches a message and gets you to a point and you respond and then you go, now what? I want to tell you now what. The first then what is this. Cultivate your relationship with him. So much of the time, where does our prayer life start? When we're in trouble, right? When we're in trouble, does anybody have to tell us that it's time to pray? Do we have to look at our reminder? Oh, it's prayer time. When we're in trouble, here's the problem. When you're seeking God in trouble, there are at least three voices talking, maybe four, okay? One, my flesh is screaming like crazy. It wants what it wants. The enemy is glad to distract me, and so he wants what he wants. The Holy Spirit is most likely talking to me, but I don't know his voice from the others. And then there's all these people who say they care about me talking also. Which voice do I listen to? God's. But how do I know which is his voice? If you don't cultivate your relationship with him when the times are good, it is a really hard time to sort it out when things are bad. Brothers, sisters, spend time in his word. Because, not because it's useful to you, because he wants to spend time with you. Find places of quiet. How many of us would like a quiet place? I have found places where I can toss my cell phone in my car. I love doing that. Ping! I don't throw it that hard. It's the office's phone. But I put it in there, I shut the thing, and go on a walk into the woods. I love being alone with him. I can hear him there. I don't know what your way is, but spend time quietly with him. He wants to be with you. Cultivate your relationship with him is the then what? So that you know when the Spirit of God is talking to you. Second piece is this. Respond to him. It's my final step. Cultivate your relationship when he shows you something. Do it. But I'm afraid. Good. Tell him you're afraid. He will provide you with what you need. And then do it. Respond to him. You don't have to make up your own things about how I follow God. He is happy to show you what he wants you to do. He does not delight in confusing you. He wants to lead you. Respond to him. You're not sure. This thing that he's asking sounds really crazy. Oh yeah, God's never asked anybody to do any crazy things. Have you read the Bible recently? But how do I know it's him? Well, I check first his scripture to see what that has to say about it. If I'm already in the cultivating piece, guess what? I know he's confirming through his word that this is what I want you to do. Yes, really. It's uncomfortable, God. Okay, but this is what I want you to do. And I go to other counselors who I know are listening to God also. I have mature friends, maturer than me. Is that a word? Maturer than me, who I go and confide in, and I talk to them and say, you know what? Here's what I think God is showing me. Will you pray with me? And sometimes God will speak through them. I'm going back. That was the then what. I'm going back. Have you had enough of trying to be holy by yourself? Have you had enough of living by your own power? What you should see when God has filled you and is using you is purity. Sin starts to become disgusting to you. Ah, you know, there's something of my Father's nature that has begun to pour into me. It's evidence. Purity, God being glorified, becomes my desire and priority. And the second thing I should see is power, empowered lives. Strange things that happen that can't be explained by anything I did should be the norm for you and me, because the Spirit of the living God is in control. Fruit being produced. No apple tree out there. It's apple season, right? Before they harvest, have you guys ever been in orchards? How many people here have been in an orchard? So when you walk by trees, what do you hear with your ears? Maybe a couple of leaves rustling, but you don't hear any trees going, "Eh, I'm trying to produce a fruit." Pop, there one pops out. You guys know any believers who live like that? I'm trying to love. I'm trying to be gentle. Dude. Gonna have an aneurysm. It's not the way we were made to live. Fruit are produced in every believer's life when the Spirit is in control. Gifts are given according to the way that God apportions it for you, according to the way He wanted to use you within the body and through the body. Those are natural outflowings of power of the Spirit of God. I want us to pray, okay? And as we pray, I'm going to ask you to just listen to God. Whatever He shows you, do. Okay? I'm not trying to put any guilt on you. I am trying to share the Word of God and allow God's Word to speak into your life and then for response to come out of there. You do what God is showing you to do. Okay? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I know that it is the experience of many of my brothers and sisters that even though your word says to be filled with the Spirit, that this life of purity and power that comes from you is a normal response that comes out of the reality of your filling, taking over every aspect of our being. Even though we may know that, that is not many of our experiences. Some of us are grasping and clasping onto things so tightly right now, it is hard to even pry our fingers open from control, whether it is in our marriages or with our children or our jobs or any area of our life. Especially in surrender to you, Lord, we are just grasping tightly, saying, no! Oh, Lord, would you surround that brother or sister right now? Would you remind them that they have trusted you for salvation? Ask them if they cannot trust you for life. Some of us in our place of needing to come empty, Lord. Maybe anew, maybe we have surrendered to you in that way a long time ago. But we have, as living sacrifices do, crawled off the altar and gone on our own way. Help us, Lord, to come empty before you. Help us to come asking you to fill. Your word is clear. This is your will, and you are more than willing. Father, help us to come expecting, believing that what you have said you will do, so that we can live lives that glorify you, what we were made for. Because of the purity and the power that lives in and through us. Your Spirit, Lord. Your Spirit. This morning, Lord, is a moment of surrender. For somebody here, this may be that first moment of surrender, crisis. So that you can begin the sanctification work that you intended in their life. Oh, Lord, please. Don't let them be fearful, but remind them of your love and your peace and your joy that you want to fill them with. Family, I don't want to mess with Westgate ways of doing things. But sometimes there's power in a physical response. And so I'm going to ask you, if you want the Lord to fill you for the first time, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come up here and come empty yourself here. As the worship team leads us, would you pour out whatever you need to before God and ask Him to fill you? Maybe this is something you need to do because you've done this before, but here's another point where you need to lay things down before Him. Come, do that. Feel welcome. I'm going to stay here on the floor for a little while. You come. You do business with God. You come lay things down before Him. Maybe you have a hard time getting up to the front or kneeling up here or lying down up here, whatever you need to do. That's fine. Where you are, respond to God. The important piece is that you are responding to God, okay? Don't hear His voice and harden your heart. Respond to Him. Respond to Him. Come empty. Ask Him. Believe that He will do what He said He would do.